You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonsalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonsalves here with SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 3rd of November 2020. From the SBS Newsroom, it is your 10-minute daily business and finance news wrap. Later, e-commerce with Booktopia CEO Tony Nash on the company's first day trading on the Australian Securities Exchange. But first, a Qantas, which came out with some good news today. It says domestic capacity will be at 68% of pre-pandemic levels in December, 80% by the March quarter. Back in June, it was at about 20%, but that's all provided that state and territory borders remain open. As for international flights and international travel, well, that seems unlikely until July and a vaccine. With more, here is the CEO, Alan Joyce.
Well, we do think that that a vaccine rollout is going to be a requirement here, as we mentioned, Patrick, because a lot of people are not going to want to have 14 days, maybe at both ends, going into quarantine. That's one of the reasons why these carriers are operating at very low C factors. And to make it commercial, i.e. covering cash costs, we do need the demand to be not limited by the hotel quarantine requirements. And that means a vaccine is going to have to be available.
Alan Joyce there, the CEO of Qantas. Qantas shares did fall today 1.1%, but they're up 32% since November. The Australian share market rose today by 0.4%, 66.15. What drove it was a seven-year high iron ore price, boosting producers of the commodity. Shares in Fortescue up 13.3%, Rio Tinto 6.9% stronger, BHP 4.9% firmer. With that and more on the day's action, I spoke earlier with Henry Jennings. He is the senior market analyst at Marcus Today. Henry, the market is up today. Why?
I think it's a combination of a number of factors. There's obviously some more good news on the vaccine front from the UK with that approval there, the first Western country. But I think more importantly is the iron ore price, which has been, I guess, under a little bit of a cloud, and with it BHP and Fortescue and Rio, of course, with the growing spat between us and China, which has been sort of growing this week especially. So it was a relief to see, I guess, that the iron ore price has been relatively immune to that. And we have seen record highs, really, in that iron ore price, pushing up towards $140, which is a long way away from government forecasts of $55 a ton US by the middle of next year. So that is a real feather in Australia's cap at the moment. And it just shows, I guess, how reliant China is on iron ore from Australia. Also, overnight, we saw Vale downgrade its production forecast slightly, so they can't really fill the void there from the Brazilian iron ore market. So it's been a good boost today. Fortescue up nearly 13%, just shows you how amazing the rally has been today in those iron ore stocks.
You mentioned what the government expects that iron ore price, or what they factored in that iron ore price to be, right, and how that's likely to feed through to the government coffers. So just how important are these higher iron ore prices to Australia?
They're very important indeed. It's certainly, you know, in these times of trouble when we're seeing massive stimulus from the government, they need every cent they can get. And the sensitivity to that iron ore price is quite extreme. Certainly with the iron ore price here at $137, $140, a long way away from that $55, it's going to add a considerable amount of money to the government coffers and allow them a lot of firepower, that's for sure. So even at these kind of prices, around $125, $130, it was going to add around $30 billion to Australia's GDP over the next period that the budget was planning on.
This is obviously also feeding through a little bit to the Australian dollar at a 27-month high against the US. What's your take?
Well, I guess at the moment the US has got some serious issues in terms of the spread of COVID, the fact that they don't have any stimulus, and the Australian dollar is usually seen as a bit of a proxy to Chinese growth, and the Chinese growth numbers have been quite good, and we are seeing the Chinese economy expand, while at the same time we are seeing the US economy slightly stall and slow a little bit as we get this sort of air pocket between now and when the vaccine comes. And without any stimulus, we do seem to see some US dollar selling, and that is forcing the Australian dollar up as that proxy for Chinese growth and certainly Asian growth, which is good and bad. Unfortunately, you know, the Australian dollar being stronger does take some of the steam out of the commodity prices because of the way commodity prices are priced in the US dollars and Australian dollars. But it does take some of the optimism and the and the good pricing out of the equation, that's for sure.
Henry Jennings there from Marcus today. We've also got some good news on the Australian economy from across the board. The trade balance rising by $1.6 billion to $7.5 billion in October. That means that these rising tensions with China isn't having an immediate effect anyway. New car sales from the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries rose for the first time in 2.5 years. Utes, the most popular vehicles in November, as traders or tradies took advantage of tax incentives. And then the value of new home loans rose in October to record levels. It comes as NAB's retail online sales index, while softer in November, is still 60% higher than a year ago. People are obviously shopping online more because of COVID, and that's helped online retailers like book retailer Booktopia. It listed on the Australian share market today and closed at $2.72. That is an 18% premium to its upper price. So for more, I spoke earlier with Booktopia's CEO, Tony Nash. Tony, first of all, are you happy with the way you've started trading on the ASX today?
Well, with all the experience of being the CEO of a listed company, I can say, I guess, yeah. Having never done it before, it's all very new, but it seems to have got off to a good start. The experts have said it has.
Can you give us an update on how sales are tracking as we head into Christmas?
Sales are absolutely on track. And I'm not talking about Booktopia in just specifically across the book industry. It's doing very well. There's some huge books that came out in the last few months that have really dominated the market and the sales. Some very big hardcover books, for example, Barack Obama's new book that everyone's been waiting for finally came out. And so for us and all the industry, it's going extremely well.
How big do you expect Christmas to be for Booktopia?
As expected, so we're pretty much on track. We have forecast an uplift of sales, and for what we planned to do, it's pretty much traveling to what we expected. We have made an investment in our outbound capacity over the last 10, 11 months, and that only went live the beginning of this month, or actually now beginning of last month, so it's 1 month ago. So our outbound capacity has gone from 30,000 books, physical books per day, to 60,000 books per day. So we haven't really had a chance to see that whole machine kick in. So we've been somewhat constrained over the last few months, especially with COVID, to deal with the demands that we've had from our customers.
So is it fair to say it's likely to be the biggest Christmas ever for the company?
Every Christmas is the biggest Christmas ever, because when you've gone from, say, 2008, 12 years ago, when we were turning over, say, 7 million to 200 million, that's a 35% increase in revenue every single year over that period, if you were to look at the CAGR. And so every year is always bigger because of our consistent growth year on year.
I'm curious to know a bit more about how COVID changed your business. I mean, how much busier did you become, for example, first of all?
We were up 60 to 70% as soon as COVID hit. It shifted because it was right as when the academic season, the tertiary academic season, was going to kick in. So everything flipped from us selling medical and legal books to selling a lot of kids and fiction, which we had never planned for. So that definitely changed. The demand was there. The interesting thing is a lot of stores closed down in the beginning because of the lockdown. So we were it for many people. But once things opened up, we were still very strong. There was demand all over the place. I think a lot of people decided to invest in themselves. There was no guarantees of the future. They wanted to start educating themselves, perhaps on some of the professions that they're in, or things that they didn't feel they were strong in. So that was one thing. Of course, others who had spent so much time at home on their screen, like on their phone and on their computer, are going, I need time out. I do not want to spend more time on a screen. So books became very much a preferred escape.
I guess one common theme that we've found as we spoke to more and more online retailers throughout this period is that, sure, they've received this huge number of new customers. So the trick is now, how do you hold on to them? So what are you doing about that?
We're already getting those customers coming back. I think that's one of the things that was surprising to them, let alone us, is that, oh, there was an Australian option. It's not Amazon. They're actually Aussie. And they ordered from us and they got it really quickly. So that in the time of a crisis, and they're able to identify a company that they could really count on for their books. We do see, regardless of books, we see that e-commerce is definitely going to continue to grow across all categories. More people will buy online. We are lagging behind North America and Europe, and we're catching up to them, but there's still quite a gap between where they are and where we are. And one of the things that I've seen, which is very different, is the approach that traditional retailers, the big retail businesses, are throwing at their e-commerce offering and what they're doing with their logistics program. The light's been turned on in the boardroom and they're going, we have got to double down, triple down on what we're doing with e-commerce. And therefore, that is helping everyone from a customer base move online, and we're all going to be the beneficiaries of that.
Tony Nash there, the CEO of Booktopia. That is SBS on the Money for this Thursday, the 3rd of November 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.